audio is from Anchor Church. More information is available at anchorhowell.com.
If you've been with us, you know that we're studying the Gospel of Mark together. And we've entitled this series, Following Jesus, the Suffering King, because the theme of the Gospel of Mark is the arrival of the kingdom in Jesus, the Suffering King. And throughout this Gospel, Mark continues to present the question to us, will you follow Jesus, the Suffering King? And as we come to verse 40 through 45 this morning in Mark chapter 1, we're going to see that Jesus takes our place so that we might be made clean. Jesus takes our place so that we might be made clean. I'd like to read these five verses for us that we're going to be studying this morning, starting in verse 40. And a leper came to him, Jesus, imploring him and kneeling and said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him at once, away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for it is proof to them." But he, the leper, went out and began to talk freely about it, and he spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in a desolate place, and people were coming to him from every quarter. In these five verses, Mark records for us the interaction that Jesus has with a leper, a man who has leprosy. Leprosy is a skin disease, and it could be a many numerous types of skin diseases. We're not told what type of leprosy that this man had, but what we do know is that he was a leper, and he comes to Jesus, and he asks Jesus a request. And in this request, there's two parts to this request that we see in verse 40. His request is, "If you will, you can make me clean." And so what this leper is asking Jesus is two things. The first thing he's asking him is, "Are you willing to make me clean?" The second part of his request is the request that he would be made clean. In this first request, "Are you willing to make me clean?" the leper doesn't have any doubt of Jesus' authority and his capacity to make him clean. The question that the leper has is Jesus willing to use his power as king to make him clean? In other words, the leper is saying, "Look, I know you're sovereign, I know you're powerful, but are you good? Are you good?" And in the second part of this question, this request that the leper asks, the leper asks, he makes the request, "Will you make me clean?" Now, why does the leper ask Jesus to make him clean versus the leper asking Jesus to heal him? And the answer to that question rests in an understanding of what it meant to be a leper. For to have leprosy was not simply the same thing as having another disease. To have leprosy meant that according to the Jewish law that's recorded in Leviticus chapter 13 through 15, the ceremonial cleansing laws, and if you want to hear more details of that, we walked through Leviticus together, and you can find a sermon that I preached from Leviticus 13 through 15 online. But to have leprosy was more than simply to be blind or, you know, to be lame, which were things that people had that came and asked Jesus. And when they come to Jesus, when they were blind or lame, they didn't ask to be cleansed. They simply asked to be healed. But to have leprosy was more than just simply a physical ailment, a blindness or lameness. It was to be unclean. It meant that you were to be set aside outside the city in a place of desolateness. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 through 46, which we have up on the screen here, gives us the exact commands that were given for those who had leprosy. It says this: the leprous person who had the disease should wear torn clothes, let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip. In other words, they would go like this, walk around like this, the hand over their mouth, yelling out, "Unclean and unclean." And he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. And then notice this: he shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. And so while every other disease that a person might have experienced during this time would have simply had a physical impact on them, so that somebody who is blind, what would that mean, kids, if they were blind? They couldn't see anymore, right? While that was the only impact that would be experienced by blindness as a disease of physical impact, to have leprosy meant that not only would you have the physical impact of leprosy where you're, and I don't know, I'm not a medical professional, but where you would have flesh-eating bacteria on your body, but you would also have the social and spiritual impact of leprosy in that if you were a dad and you got leprosy, you could no longer live in the home with your family. You would have to take your stuff and move outside of the city to a desolate place. And so not only would you physically be impacted because of the leprosy that you had, but you would be socially impacted because you would have to leave the home, leave your family, leave your friends to be alone in a desolate place outside the city. But then there was also a spiritual impact in that as long as you were ceremonially unclean, you were not able to enter into the temple to worship God or to participate in sacrifices. And so in the request of the leper to Jesus, asking to be made clean, we see the implication of leprosy to be something more than just a physical issue that needed to be healed. Now, what does Jesus do? Jesus responds to the leper's request in verse 45 with four words. He says this: I will. So he answers the first part of the request, which was the question, are you willing to? He says, I will. And then in the second part of the request that the leper asked to be made clean, he says, be clean. But verse 45 or 41, sorry, shows us that Jesus does something else that is very unique. Jesus not only says those four very important words, which is all Jesus needed to do to make this man clean, to make him healed of his leprosy, but Jesus also moves towards the man. It says he's moved by pity. And he moves towards the man with leprosy, reaches his hands out, and he touches the leper. And something happens in that moment that had never happened up until that moment in history. Up until that moment in history, if you or I had been around during this time and somebody who had leprosy, let's say that your brother or your sister got leprosy, if you went to comfort them by giving them a hug, you would in that moment become ceremonially unclean because you had touched somebody who was unclean. And then there were laws and commands that Leviticus lays out as to how long you would have to stay outside the city in a place of desolation. I think it was like 7 days. And then after 7 days, if there was no rash, no disease that showed up on your skin from the leprosy, then you could come to the priest and you would present yourself to the priest. The priest would look at you, would make sure that there was no sign of leprosy. You would then have a different type of sacrifice depending on what your kind of how wealthy you were so that you could then become ceremonially clean again. Every single person up until the moment that Jesus touches this leper, every single person who touched somebody with leprosy became unclean. The uncleanness always transferred to the person who was clean to make them unclean. But something different happens here that had never happened throughout history. Rather than being polluted by the leper's disease, the leper is cleansed and healed by Jesus' contagious holiness. Rather than being polluted by the leper's disease, the leper is cleansed and healed by Jesus' contagious holiness. And so this leper is healed, he's cleansed, and then Jesus gives him instructions, right? In the next verse. And the instructions that Jesus gives him, he gives him two things. He tells him two things. Number one, he's very clear, and he uses the word sternly here in verse 43. Jesus sternly charges him as he sends him away at once. Verse 44, he sternly charges him not to tell anybody about what has taken place, number one. And then number two, to go to the priest, as was laid out in the law, to go to the priest, have the priest look at him to make sure that the disease, that the leprosy was gone, and then to offer the sacrifices that were required by the law of Moses so that he might be made clean. So Jesus is very clear, gives him these two commands. Now, what does the leper do? The leper obeys one of the commands, but he disobeys in the other command. Which command does the leper obey? As we look at verse 45, well, we see the one that he disobeys, I guess, which then by process of elimination tells you the one that he did obey. The one that he obeys is he goes to the priest and he shows his body, shows himself to be made clean, fulfills the Mosaic laws as they were laid out in Leviticus. But then what does he do that's disobedient to God's command? What does he do that he wasn't supposed to do? He tells everybody, right? He tells everybody. And notice what happens. The impact of what happens when he tells everybody. Verse 45 tells us that as he freely tells everybody, he spreads the news, what happens? Jesus, it says, could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in a desolate place. There's something unique that's taking place here. Because of the leper's disobedience to Jesus, Jesus, who has now traded places with the leper, in that Leviticus 13:46 told us what? Lepers were to live alone, dwelling outside the camp. Jesus is now the one, what? As Mark tells us, in a desolate place outside the city, cannot enter into the city because the people will mob him, wanting him to do more miracles for the sake of miracles. Whereas the leper, who had minutes or hours before been in the desolate place, unable to enter into the city because he was unclean, is now in the center of the city, rejoicing with the crowds. So we see here that because of the disobedience of the leper, Jesus trades place with the leper. So that the leper is in the city and Jesus is outcast in a desolate place. Now let me ask you this question, and kids, you can answer this as well. Did Jesus know that the leper was going to disobey him when he gave him that command and when he healed him? Did Jesus know that the leper was going to disobey him? Yeah. Yes, he did. And this is important. Jesus knew that the leper was going to disobey him. And so Jesus knew the cost of healing this leper. Jesus was not surprised after he gave the leper the command, that the leper then went and disobeyed him and told everybody and caused a situation where Jesus could not enter into the city, but instead had to go out to a desolate place while the leper entered into the city. Jesus was not surprised by this. Jesus knew the cost. And in Jesus knowing the cost, what did Jesus choose to do? Did Jesus look at the cost and go, okay, I know what the cost is, so it's not worth healing you, it's not worth making you clean, because I'm going to have to trade places with you and I don't want to be in the desolate place. It's not worth the cost. I'm not going to do it. Did Jesus do that? No. Jesus counted the cost. He looked at the cost. He knew that the leper was going to disobey him. He knew the cost of the fact that he was going to have to trade places with the leper, and he looked at that and he said, you know what? This is a worthy cost. I'm going to choose to cleanse you, to make you clean, to heal you, even in spite of the cost that this would incur upon me. And so in Jesus' interactions here in these five verses, we see Jesus fulfilling his role as the suffering king. He fulfills his role as the king, the one who has authority, which Devin walked us through last week. Jesus shows his authority as king in his ability to heal this man with leprosy, in his ability to touch the man who is unclean and make him clean, rather than Jesus becoming unclean because of the man's uncleanliness. Jesus' kingship, his authority, his power is in full view for us to see in the healing of this man who has leprosy, in making him clean. But Jesus' suffering element is also seen here. His willingness to suffer is demonstrated in his willingness to cleanse the leper, even though he knew it meant that he would have to trade places with him, as he, Jesus, is relegated to the desolate place that the leper was at, so that the leper would enter into the city, back into community, back into society. And not only does Jesus' interaction with the leper demonstrate Jesus as a suffering king, it also foreshadows the further suffering that Jesus would experience 3 years later, which this week is all about. Because as Jesus is headed out of the city into a desolate place, pushed out there because of the leper's disobedience, this would not be the only time that Jesus would be walking out of a city into the space of desolateness. Holy Week reminds us, today is Palm Sunday, which is a celebration of Jesus entering into the city with the crowds and all groups of people celebrating him, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, the King is here. But then on Friday, what does Jesus do? On Friday, Jesus walks. He's in the city. Where does he walk? Outside the city, doesn't he? He walks on the path to Golgotha, a place that is desolate, outside the city. Where he would hang on a cross, in our place, as the penal substitute for us, so that we who have placed our faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross might be atoned for our sins. And Jesus walked out of the city on the path towards a desolate Golgotha to hang on the cross, knowing that we would sin. And yet he looked at the cost. And he saw, he chose to sacrifice himself, to live the life that we could not live, and to die the death that we deserve to die, to trade places with us, so that through his finished work on the cross, we who place our faith in Jesus' finished work might not only be atoned for, rescued and redeemed, but we might then begin our journey that ends where? In Revelation chapter 22, in the city where the gates are never shut because there's no threat of danger, because sin and evil have been dealt with, where there is no sun because Jesus is the light who gives us the sun in that city. And of course, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 remind us, point us to this, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For our sake he made him," Christ, "to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him," Christ, "we might become the righteousness of God." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed." And so we see in this interaction with Jesus and the leper, not only Jesus' kindness and goodness in being willing to cleanse the leper and saying, "I will be clean, be cleansed," but we also see a foreshadow, a foretaste of Jesus' willingness and kindness as the suffering king to choose to suffer in our place, to choose to enter into a space of desolation so that we who are born in desolation might be adopted into a community, into a family that ends in heaven in the city of God. And so we see Jesus, the suffering king, takes our place so that we might be made clean. So I want to end our time with a couple of questions. The first question I would encourage us to ask ourselves is, do you recognize the need to be made clean? There's a uniqueness to having leprosy in that the leper was continually reminded of the fact that he was unclean. From the moment that he woke up to the moment that he rested his head and closed his eyes, he would be reminded of his uncleanness, right? He would be reminded of his uncleanness as he would be itching at his hands or at his arms where he had leprosy. He would be reminded of his uncleanness as he would have to place his hand over his mouth whenever he would be within earshot of people yelling out, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." He would be reminded of his uncleanness as he was lay his head outside the city in a place of desolation, wishing, wanting to be with his family, but not being able to, waking up in the morning alone, being reminded once again of the fact that he was unclean. The leper was continually reminded of his uncleanliness. But for us, if we're honest, at times we are going to be drawn to minimize our sin and to shift our focus away from our need for a Savior in ways that the leper just couldn't do, right? Because it's a lot easier, or I should say it's a lot harder, right, for a leper to be like, "Oh, I don't really have a problem," as he's isolated, as he looks at his arms and his limbs and he sees leprosy. That's a lot harder to do than for us to, and I include myself in this, to look at the sin that we might indulge in and to minimize it and to go, "Well, it's not a big deal. You know, I really don't need Jesus, whether it is to save me," or even, "I don't need, as a follower of Christ, I don't need Jesus to deal with my sin, to forgive me of my sin, and to bring healing in this space." It's a lot easier for us to do that than it was for the leper to go, "Well, I don't need to be cleaned." So the first question is, do we recognize our need to be made clean? Do we see our sin in the way that God sees our sin? The second question then becomes, have you asked Jesus to make you clean? And the answer to this question could be from a place of going, somebody who has not trusted Christ as their Savior and Lord for the first time, asking to be cleansed, asking to be forgiven of their sins, to those who are followers of Christ, to me, going in the moment that I recognize that I am walking in sin, stopping and choosing to look to my Savior and to ask Him to forgive me of my sins. Have you asked Jesus to make you clean? And then the final question, question three of four questions, is, are you following Jesus? Are you walking in obedience to His commands? Not as a way of getting cleaned, but in response to the fact that your sins have been forgiven. Are you looking to Jesus to be your Savior and your hope, placing your complete allegiance in Him? And let me just lay out for you why Jesus is while Jesus is the one to follow. It is good to follow Jesus because while Jesus is king, He's not a tyrant. We're going to see this throughout the Gospel of Mark. We see it here. Jesus uses His power and His authority not to make His life easier, but instead to care for, to serve us. Jesus came, Mark says, to serve and not to be served, to give His life as a ransom for many. And so Jesus is worthy to be followed because Jesus is a king, but He's not a tyrant. Jesus is also worthy to be followed because Jesus, God the Son, the suffering King, chose to take the path of suffering by taking our place, just like He did the leper, by walking down the path towards the desolate Golgotha, so that we who are born in desolation, in sin, and brokenness might be adopted into community, into the family of God, into the city. Jesus lived a life we could not live, died the death we deserved to die, choosing to be an outcast for us, suffering in our place for our sins, so that we might be adopted into the family of God and enjoy Jesus with our forever family for all of eternity. That Jesus is a worthy Jesus to follow. And then finally, are you pointing your friends and your neighbors to Jesus, your Savior, who is the only one who makes us clean? But not only is He able to make us clean, but who is willing to make us clean. And towards that end, I want to encourage you that if you've got family or friends or neighbors in our community who are not part of a local church, that you would invite them to church even this next Sunday, as Sam shared. Because Easter is a unique space within our culture, within our context, where there is less barriers to engage, to visit church. So I want to encourage you to invite neighbors, coworkers, family members, those who are not connected to a local church, invite them to Anchor so that they can not only hear the gospel preached, but they can see the gospel at work, so that they might have, as our goal is each Sunday, to have a small foretaste of what heaven will be like as we worship together, as we study the scriptures together, and as we are reminded of the fact that Jesus, who calls us to follow Him, is worthy of being followed because He is good. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that in Christ we have a Savior who willingly and joyfully suffers in our place for us, so that we who are born into sin might be rescued and redeemed and adopted into the family of God. Lord, I pray that the reality of the gospel would just day by day transform us, transform our attitudes, transform our affections, transform our heart, transform our hope, transform us as kids, as teenagers, as adults, so that not only would we, not only would you be glorified, but the gospel would transform us for our good and for the good of those in our circles of influence. In Christ's name, amen.